Yeah, he talks about a balanced approach. It's not like we're advocating for one over the other, but so many people have taken a hold of social marketing, social prospecting, as their way out of having to pick up the phone.
Hello and welcome to Pillars of Wealth Creation, where we talk about creating financial success with a special focus on business and real estate. I'm your host, Todd Dexheimer. Now, let's get to it. Are you ready to start investing in real estate today but don't know where to start? Sometimes investing can seem way too complicated, but it actually couldn't be any easier than with homeinvest.com. You know the co-founder and my friend Nate Armstrong. He appeared on episode 20, and if you haven't heard it, go back and listen to it, episode number 20. Home Invest is a company that allows you to invest in turnkey real estate. Their goal is to build powerful investment tools that make real estate investing accessible to everyone. They have contractors and property managers available for you with the click of your mouse. While other real estate agents can only offer a property, Home Invest brings you a full turnkey package that allows you to diversify your investments, earn passive income, and start building equity in properties. Their simple, intuitive design allows newcomers and experienced investors alike to hit the ground running and to be able to choose the properties when they want and where they want. View easy-to-understand charts and data to allow you to buy in only a few clicks or just a simple phone call. With Home Invest, you'll be building your portfolio as quickly or as slowly as you would like. And right now, Home Invest is giving our listeners, Pillar of Wealth Creation listeners, a free course on how to finally win in real estate investing. So go to homeinvest.com/pillars. That's homeinvest.com/pillars. To claim your free course today. Hello and welcome back to Pillars of Wealth Creation. I'm your host, Todd Dexheimer. With me as always on these hump day hustles is John Stiles with Bridge Realty. John, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Todd. It's a good day to be alive. How about yourself?
I am doing fantastic. Thank you. John, anything new with you going on?
Just getting back into the grind. You know, we had Thanksgiving off a few days. It was really good to see family and relax a little bit, although the kids are kind of taking turns being sick, so it wasn't all rest, but now it's time to get back at it and get to selling some real estate.
Yeah, heck yeah. And the year in a good note, start the new year in a great note as well. So that's kind of where I'm at too, wanting to end the year in a good note. My goal right now is to get one property under contract, an apartment building under contract. So I'm working hard at doing that. Got some underwriting going on and some offers going in. And we only get really a month left. So if I can get a property under contract before the end of the year, that would be fantastic. That means 2019, we'd be closing on a deal right away in the beginning of the year, which is perfect, ideal. For me. So that's kind of what I'm putting some energy into right now. And also working with trying to build my coaching a little bit and just trying to make sure the current properties I have going on right now, everything's working well with them. And that's really important for me. You know, as you grow, you don't want to leave the other stuff behind that, you know, you just push off and, you know, just are focusing, always focusing on what's coming. You've got to also focus on what you've already built. And so that's really important for me right now too. So I've been spending a lot of time and energy dedicating towards that as well, making sure my contractor's doing their work and making sure our leases are set up right, and we're getting new tenants, and we're driving traffic in, and so we've been spending a lot of time actually with my property management company in Lexington. You know, right now is a really difficult time of the year. Unfortunately, in the summer, I've got two properties that we're working on and a few hundred units. And both of them, we had delays in the summer for one reason or the other. And so
one of my properties in particular was just construction delays. A lot of it should have been done, but it just wasn't. And, you know, I can go ahead and blame the contractor. I can, you know, do that, all that, but ultimately it's on me for why it didn't happen. And so now we're leasing in a very difficult leasing season. Thanksgiving, Christmas, people just don't want to move right now. Everybody wants to be set where they want to be during this time of the year. Come February, it starts to loosen up. You get the some tax returns. People already spent all their money on Christmas. Now they got some back or over the holidays. And so, you know, February, March, but we want that occupancy good right now. And so that's just what we've been working on, some strategies to be able to implement to try to get people in. One of my things was, look, I mean, I would rather offer a free month worth of rent right now and get people in than have nobody in. So that's something we're doing, is we're offering some incentives like that. We're increasing our advertising. We're getting, you know, more flags and different things at the property so people can see that we're actively leasing, making sure our signage is set up right, all that kind of stuff. So just trying to get some strategies going and really hit it hard during leasing season. And then make sure our contractors, that's really important right now. Right now it's easy to go, oh, geez, you know, I got a high occupancy or vacancy. I don't want to remodel too many units because I don't want to just spend all my money on these units when nobody's moving into them as quickly. We're not leasing them that quickly, but right now is a really important time to have that all done so that next spring and summer, we don't have the same thing happening, right? We're not behind. We're already so far ahead, which is good. I mean, you don't want to overdo it, but you do want to have inventory ready for that spring and early summer market to where we can move a lot of people in really quickly and really, really hit it hard during that time. So that's kind of what we're looking at doing right now. So,
well, that's fine. You know, people are moving at all times of the year. But
yep,
when it comes to the holidays, you kind of question, like, why are you moving now? Do you need to move because of things didn't work out at your last apartment, or is it just because you had to move?
No, I think there's quite a bit of that. There are some people that are moving because of job relocation or, you know, because they want to move out of mom and dad's house or whatever. So there is that definitely going on. But there's a lot of people that are moving out of necessity. And those are the people we got to be careful about renting to, right? Because if you're moving out of necessity, what's that necessity? Is it because you got evicted? Is it because you just weren't going to pay rent, you skipped out, whatever it is? So we got to be careful about those types of tenants too, because those are tenants that want our place. They just got evicted. They're hoping we don't do a thorough background check, or they're hoping we accept them. And so we got to be really diligent about who we're renting to and why are they moving during this time, because the start of winter is the most difficult time. The end of winter is actually easier. Even like I said, even February is much easier than, I think November and December are the hardest months to rent for sure. December by far, at least in my experience. I don't have any statistical data to back that up, but in my experience, December's the hardest month by far to rent to.
Yep.
Yeah. Which is a bummer because I've got a really nice property right now available in the Twin Cities in December 1st, it's available. And it's like, oh man, it's a really nice property. And it's not going to, most of the calls I get are, you know, government assistance. And not that there's anything wrong with that, but this property, it just doesn't meet those government assistance standards. It's the rent is too high for that. And I don't want to drop the rent down to it, because then you're stuck in a year lease,
right,
with the government assistance. If I could be stuck in a, you know, 3-month lease, potentially, but with the government assistance, you're stuck in a year lease, and then it's okay. Now it's winter again. Now I can't raise the rent.
So. Yep. Maybe you should do short-term rentals with that.
I just might do Airbnb or something similar. Yeah, I just might. I don't know. Maybe you and I will have to talk about that because I know a guy that's doing Airbnb.
Yeah.
Well, cool. And for me, Thanksgiving was awesome. You know, always good to get together with family and spend some time with the kids. And they, you know, they had Wednesday, Thursday, Friday off, and of course the weekend. And so it was fun spending a lot of good time with the family. And we went up to my in-laws and spent some time with them too. So always good to do that and to stop and think about what you're thankful for, as we talked about just a few weeks ago. Maybe should have released that on Wednesday, but we released it maybe 2 weeks before that or whatever it was. But,
getting ready for it.
We're just getting ready for it. It was my mistake, not even thinking about the days and how they correlate, but I just, that was something that was on my mind at the time, being thankful. But yeah, it's always good to just stop and think about what you're thankful for. And I actually, as we talked about on that previous episode, I think it's something everybody should do every day. It doesn't have to be Thanksgiving. Hopefully you're doing it on a daily basis, being grateful.
Yep.
Hey, I want to interrupt this episode real quick to talk to you about Nate Armstrong, our sponsor, Nate Armstrong. He's with homeinvest.com, and you want to get to know Nate. So go to homeinvest.com and just connect with Nate. Talk to him. Learn about his operation, what he's got going on. He's a turnkey provider, and it may not be right for you, but it could be the perfect fit. So it doesn't hurt. It's a free call, free consultation, just to figure out, you know, what they do, what they have to offer. And worst case is you're going to meet a great person who's really well educated in real estate. He's done a ton of different real estate strategies, and probably he's going to teach you a little bit, even on a short conversation with him. So go to homeinvest.com and connect with Nate's company. You're definitely not going to be disappointed. It's worth it. So thanks, and we'll get back to our show. Well, let's move on, John. You and I both did an audible of a book. So John, why don't you introduce that book and tell me a little bit, tell our audience a little bit about it and maybe what you took from it.
Yeah. The name of the book that we both listened to recently is called Fanatical Prospecting. And you read it first, then you referred it to me and I listened to it. The author is Jeb Blunt. And, did you know this author before, or how did you hear about the book?
Yeah, I heard about it from one of our guests, Joey Torkelson. I can't remember what episode he's on. I should know that off the top of my head, but I don't. Maybe I'll look it up while you're talking and introducing the book.
Yeah, and that makes sense. I mean, I know Joey's all about prospecting and getting on the phones. So, basically, I don't know how to summarize it. It's a very, very deep book, got a lot of information and great ideas packed into it. Well, basically, you know, if you're anybody who's in any sort of sales type job, or has a company which has a sales type aspect to it, which is basically everybody, right? You know, we have to think about prospecting and how do we reach new clients. And how do we stay in touch with the clients or potential clients that we're aware of? So there's a lot of talk these days about inbound marketing, which is another topic, but just to set it up here as a comparison, where you do a lot of blogging, social media advertising, all sorts of things in order to get people to call you. Or maybe, you know, back in the day when you just set up your store on the corner, you put out your sign, and then that was enough to get people to walk in the door. Mm-hmm. And so there's a lot of talk about that these days, and that's a valid, you know, valuable thing to be aware of and put into practice. But this goes back to the tried and true method of prospecting outbound, you know, calling, door knocking, and getting out there to where your potential clients are and interrupting them. He talks about, I think, the art of interrupting people. So that's kind of a very short summary of the basic topic there.
Yeah, and I think there's value. There's definitely value to both, and I think he talks a little bit about it. It's been a little bit since I've listened to the book. I actually listened to it twice. Really enjoyed it. I'm of the same kind of thought process as you. I need to actually pick up the physical copy because it's got a lot of good, valuable content in there. A lot of things you can highlight and kind of put into a spreadsheet or something to be making sure you're hitting some of the main points that you really took from the book. But yeah, you know, there's value in just branding yourself and making sure people know who you are. Obviously, like a podcast or a blog or writing books, stuff like that, you're getting your name out there. So it's great to have people reaching out to you directly and not for you to have to reach out to them, because that's always the easiest sale, right? If you call me up asking me to sell your apartment building, well, that's a lot easier sale than me calling you up asking you if I can sell your apartment building, right? I mean, you already reached out to me as the seller. That's pretty much, you know, there's a reason you reached out to me. You respect who I am. You know that I can sell apartment buildings. So you reached out to me. That's the easiest, definitely the easiest sale. So, but that's not going to happen on a daily basis, likely, especially until you really build that brand, right? But even when you always have to be continually prospecting. You think about big brands, they're always continuing to prospect. They're always trying to find new ways to advertise to you. They're not sitting on their thumbs hoping everybody comes to the door, right? They're always, always, always prospecting. And so that's what kind of this book's all about, just being fanatical about it. And his book is really touches close to for realtors or for salespeople that need to make a lot of phone calls. And he talks too about how like the phone is not dead. We think that the phone is dead and we think we should be emailing people all the time. And he talks about how the phone is not dead. The phone is actually almost the opposite, is super alive because nobody gets phone calls anymore. They get bombarded in their email box with all these great companies or great ideas or great this and that. And that just goes click, 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 junk, right? Or if you've got really good spam filters, it's already in the spam and people just kind of scan through it to look at if there's anything that the spam picked up that shouldn't be spam. And they'll never even look and read your email. That's how my email is set up. I have to actually go into my spam because sometimes stuff that's not junk goes in there because I've got my spam filter set up really tight. So actually emailing is, yeah, that's good. You know, can it help? Sure, because they're seeing your name if they're actually reading or looking at them. But if they don't have any clue who you are, why are they going to open up that email? It just looks like some junk. How do they know it's not some virus on it? That's my thought on that. So you've got to somehow, you know, pick up the phone and connect with them and actually get in front of them. So I think that was really valuable. Something I was like, oh, that's a good point. Like we just think, you know, Facebook and LinkedIn and email and, you know, all this social, you hear all about, we should just be all this social. Well, that's great. Social media. But that simple, like one-on-one phone call or going to a conference and actually shaking somebody's hand and meeting them, those are really, really important to prospecting.
Yep. Yeah. He talks about a balanced approach. It's not like we're advocating for one over the other, but so many people have taken a hold of social marketing, social prospecting as their way out of having to pick up the phone.
Cause it's easy, right? I mean, yeah. you don't have to be good at saying something. You can write an email, you can proofread it. You're the guy in the cubicle next to you can look at it, make sure it sounds good. Your boss can look at it. And then you hit send. That's it. You don't have to sound good on the phone. If that makes a sale, then great. I didn't even have to talk to anybody. They didn't have to tell me, no, go get bleeped, right? They just deleted it.
Don't get lost.
Don't get lost. Yeah, so that's the easy way out. And that's why I think social media is such a pull for people, because it's the easy way out and because it does work to an extent. We're all hoping for that warm or red hot lead, right? The red hot leads are the easy ones. When somebody reaches out to me and says, hey, I need you for this. You already have them, right? You have very little selling to do. You have to make sure they understand you're ethical and all that kind of stuff, but you have very little selling to do. You just, tell them a little bit about your company, tell them a little bit about how you can help, and that's it. And you got the sale.
Yep. Yeah. Another thing that he talked about with getting on the phone is just, we have such a fear of rejection or fear of not knowing what to say, or just so many different fears go into it that prevent us from making the calls or just sitting there staring at the phone, knowing we got to make the call. And what he said was, I thought was really interesting about, okay, it sucks. He's from his point of view, he's been doing this for decades. And he thinks he is a fanatical prospector, and yet he still thinks making phone calls sucks.
Yeah.
And he's just like, but you realize the reality and you embrace it.
Yep.
This sucks. Let's do it.
Let's do it. Yeah. And he talks about, how I just think it was funny because he talked about, how people have this time block, 3 hours of prospecting that they're going to be calling, or maybe they don't even have a time block. They just are planning on calling a certain amount of people. They don't have a time block. It's just throughout the day. And, I don't remember how exactly he talks about, but when he goes in, cause he coaches and consults now. And so when he goes in and consults for these companies and says, how many people did you call? And they actually look at how many people they called. They thought they called, 30 people. They end up calling 6. And it's like, well, what'd you do with your day? They called up somebody and they didn't get through. And so they shuffled some papers. They checked a couple emails. They go, stand up and go talk to some people in the office. And then they go and make another call. And then they do this exact same thing. And they don't understand how they didn't get 30, phone calls in. And then when he actually sits them down and does it, they're amazed at how quickly they can get those phone calls in, and how you just need to time block and make sure you're actually getting those done. Joey Torkelson talked about how with his team, and I can't remember the exact number, but I think it's like they do, I think it was like 3 hours, they time block of calling. And they do it at a certain time and they have to call, I can't remember how many people, but this is his team, his real estate team. They have to cold call and maybe some warm calling, but they have to be calling these people and just go through that list. And they call people. And he said, it's amazing. Mostly you get no's, but you get some yeses, and those yeses are real paychecks. That's real money coming in. And by the way, it's episode 66. I would recommend everybody going back to episode 66, especially if you haven't listened to it, listen to Joey, because he's got a lot of great advice on the same topic. And again, some of it's repeat of what I'm saying, but really good stuff. And it has to deal with this book, and it has to deal with his results and what he's seen as well. So definitely.
Cool. So what, any other, and there's a lot packed into this book. What is another idea that pops out to you and what you liked about it?
Yeah. Like you said, there's a lot packed in it. I like some of the mental strategies he talked about and just how to actually, you know, block it into your schedule, how to make it a priority to make sure you're doing it, and cut out what the excuses. And then he talks a little bit about goal setting and how you can set these goals. And we want to set, you know, our daily goal versus, you know, well, you did talk about yearly goals too, but I mean, we got to make sure we're breaking it down. And we're understanding what we actually have to do every single day, and then just really commit to it. And I think whether you're a salesperson, whether you're not a salesperson, because I'm not necessarily a salesperson per se. I mean, I do believe with my company, I have to be good at sales, or at least decent at sales. I think anybody that's going to own a company has to understand how to sell. But if you're not prospecting, if that's not your main business, I still think there's a lot of value you can learn from this about just being fanatical, right? Just being fanatical at anything. Like if you're an underwriter for multifamily properties, you need to be a fanatical underwriter, right? You need to be you need a time block and really focus on, you know, underwriting all these deals. If you're going to be finding investors, you need to be fanatical about it. Like you need to actually be calling investors consistently and talking with them and building and honing those relationships. So anything you do, you should be figuring out what's your main kind of thing? What's your one thing of your business that you need to do in order to increase revenue? So that's something for everybody to think about, whether it's sales or whether it's, you know, making something, production, whether it's, you know, underwriting, like I said, or analyzing, or whatever it is. What's your main one thing that you need to do on a daily, consistent basis, fanatically, in order to increase and grow your business, in order to actually bring income into your business? And that's what you need to make sure you time block specifically for. And then make sure you set your goal up. What does that look like? How much do I need to do it? And actually commit and do it. And I think that was really valuable. Something I took from it, not just on a sales tactic, but on anything that we do in business.
For sure. You know, relating to both ends of that, there's so many things that can distract us. Like when we talk about time blocking for making calls, you touched on this, you know, just shuffling papers, organizing, or if you have a CRM, you know, getting things just right in there. And a lot of these side things are important, but if they're distracting you from what you need, from the most important thing, you know, that's where you run into trouble.
Yeah.
So you can, he talks about having a golden hour, and then, you know, other, I forget exactly all of his labels, but other hours where you can do these organizational things later on after your most important tasks are calling or whatever it is done first.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Cool. John, anything else you want to add? Or is that good?
One more thing, I guess. You know, one of the things that was helpful is having like one of four main goals when you do make calls. He talked about either you're building familiarity of yourself with that prospect, or you're gathering information from them, or you're setting an appointment, or you're closing a sale. So there could be other goals, but those are typically four main goals for your reason for calling. And then it's super helpful to just have, you know, before you make the call, determine what is my goal. Why am I calling this person?
Yeah.
You know, and then when you're on the phone, you can let them know, hey, I'm calling because, and just that whole, because he talked about a study when people were kind of cutting in line to get to the copier, and they would ask permission to go to the copier. And if they gave no reason, They just, hey, can I cut in line? You know, they wouldn't get permission to cut. But if they said, hey, can I cut in line because I've got a lot of copies to make, then even if it was a nonsensical reason, because they used the word because, you know, people gave them permission.
Yeah, yeah. So if you said, can I cut in line because I put my underwear on backwards today, would that work still? Just because you said because?
They found out things like, I don't know that exact example, but things like
that. Funny though, you just gave a reason why and people go, oh yeah, okay.
Yeah.
They don't even think about the reason why, but.
So, and he wasn't advocating to come up with silly, stupid reasons, right. but understanding the concept that we are, when we're calling people, we're interrupting them.
Yeah.
So nobody likes to be interrupted. But if you can be upfront with them, hey, I'm interrupting you because, and then be honest and give them a legitimate reason, and they're more likely to allow the conversation to go on versus just hang up on you or whatever.
Yeah. Well, the other thing I thought was interesting that he said, and I do agree, I couldn't agree more actually, is he talks about the people that go, hey, you know, John, my name's Todd Dexheimer. How are you doing today? And you're like, good. What's up? Oh yeah, it's a beautiful day in, you know, Minnesota, isn't it, today? And blah, blah, blah. And all those Vikings are really doing well. And like, just get to the point. Okay. Like what's this call about? And so I'm already irritated because you've just been like trying to do small chat with me and I got no clue who you are anyway. I don't know you. I don't want this small chat. Just get to the point. Mm-hmm. But that was interesting when he talked about that. Like, don't give people small chat. Just tell them what you're calling for.
Right.
Be straight up.
I so naturally just respond with, good, how are you? I've had a few salespeople say, oh man, you're the first person who asked me.
Yeah. Well, those are maybe some depressing jobs. Yeah, awesome. Well, John, I actually want to do more of this. So I think what we'll do is we'll pick out a book every month and do a book review at the end of every month or beginning of every month or something like that. And I think you and I know both, you know, throw it on our Audible or read it or whatever and do a book every month. How's that sound?
Sounds pretty good.
You're like, ah, crap. What did I do?
You're going to have to pick up the tab from the Audible subscription now.
Perfect. That's fine. All right, John. Well, I think that's it for me. Anything else that you want to add?
No, that's good. You know, any of our listeners who are afraid of the phone or maybe, you know, are in a sales role but struggle with that, you know, pick up the book or just let us know what other tips you've found that are helpful. Obviously, we're not, you know, we're not working for Jeb Blunt. We're not making anything off of this, but we've really found it to be helpful. So,
yeah. Fanatical Prospecting by Jeb Blunt. Good book. Yeah. I would suggest, honestly, anybody read it. I don't care. You know, I'm not the sales person necessarily, but I think it was very valuable for me to read. I took stuff out of it that wasn't even necessarily what the book was written directly for. So I think any book that's written well, that's informational, a lot of times you can take things out of it, even if it doesn't relate directly to you.
Mm-hmm. For sure. And then, so for our listeners and viewers, be sure to hit the subscribe button, hit the like button, and you can find us on the other platforms, YouTube, SoundCloud, Facebook. We'd love to stay connected with you that way.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Awesome, John. Well, I appreciate it. And have a fantastic rest of the day. Make every day Saturday.
You too.
Are you ready to start investing in real estate today but don't know where to start? Sometimes investing can seem way too complicated, but it actually couldn't be any easier than with homeinvest.com. You know the co-founder and my friend Nate Armstrong. He appeared on episode 20, and if you haven't heard it, go back and listen to it, episode number 20. Home Invest is a company that allows you to invest in turnkey real estate. Their goal is to build powerful investment tools that make real estate investing accessible to everyone.
They have contractors and property managers available for you with the click of your mouse. While other real estate agents can only offer a property, Home Invest brings you a full turnkey package that allows you to diversify your investments, earn passive income, and start building equity in properties. Their simple, intuitive design allows newcomers and experienced investors alike to hit the ground running and to be able to choose the properties when they want and where they want. View easy to understand charts and data to allow you to buy in only a few clicks or just a simple phone call. With Home Invest, you'll be building your portfolio as quickly or as slowly as you would like. And right now, Home Invest is giving our listeners, Pillar of Wealth Creation listeners, a free course on how to finally win in real estate investing. So go to homeinvest.com/pillars. That's homeinvest.com/pillars to claim your free course today.